petitions between four teams. And then we have speakers. Sometimes the speakers are the youth. Some of the youth speak. Sometimes the adults or whatever. And each morning a different youth group led worship and led us in the worship and songs and things like that, played the instruments and stuff in the morning. So that's really awesome to see. And then in the afternoon, after they've had lunch, they go to sessions or workshops or whatever you want to call them. And the workshops were things like praise band, dance, drama, drumline, outdoor sports, fishing, Bible study, culinary, arts and crafts, and children's ministry. And I think that was all. And we added culinary this year and added children's ministry. Not sure how that was going to work, but also just wanting some extra hands in those departments that need lots of help. And so we were blessed that we had the response that we did, people signing up for that. And we had to literally had to cut off the number that we could take in culinary because we couldn't take any more in there and be able to manage the group and get them to do what they needed to do. And also in children's ministry, we had boys and girls that signed up to do children's ministry with them. And some of them just came in like, you know, they were just in charge and jumped right in and was taking care of the kids. And so it was awesome to watch. But part of the thought or the ministry behind that is we want the kids to learn how to minister. And we want them to learn how to do dances and dramas and praise bands and instruments and things like that. And we've had many testimonies over the year of kids that came back. One of the boys that, if you were here Sunday night, you saw the young man Jeremy Morris played the drums for Jason and Clint when they ministered. And I told him he did a good job. He said, well, it all started here. The first time he played drums, he played here at camp. And then he, from there, learned, and up to that point, their church, I believe, only had recorded music because they didn't have a worship team, they didn't have instruments, but their kids came, were in the workshops, and learned to do guitar, and started that spark, at least, the desire, the interest, and learned, and went back, and developed their worship team. They had guitars and drums and all of that kind of stuff, and so out of that, they developed the worship team for their church, and so it really is pretty awesome to watch what the Lord does for the week and what those people who are in charge of those sessions do with them. If you were here Wednesday night, you got to see the drum line perform, and they use trash cans, and they've used guardrails, and they've used bar stools, and they've used drums and buckets and whatever they can find to drum on. But Roger and Dwight and Clint had that up, and in three 45-minute sessions were able to do what they did with that group. That's just amazing to me. I don't have the slightest clue how you even began to teach somebody how to do that, and they had, it wasn't like they all did the same thing. They all did a different, you know, there were sections doing different beats at different times, and so I'm just amazed that in what is that, 135 minutes, is that what it is, that they came up with all that, that what they did. 45-minute sessions. That's what they came up with. And so it's pretty awesome to watch that and the dancers and the dramas and all the things that they do. So, and part of the mindset of the whole purpose of the camp is not just to come for them to be blessed or them to be enriched or, you know, them to be filled and all of that kind of stuff, but it's also to impart something in them to go back and develop that when they go back home and use that as a ministry in their church. And one of the people that were with the guitar session, there was one little girl, I think it was, in the guitar session that did not have a guitar of her own. The others had one. They didn't have it with them. But there was one that didn't have a guitar of her own, and she went home with a guitar from camp this year. So it's just a pretty amazing thing. And, you know, I said, if you only ignite a spark that causes that child to want to do that, you never know where that spark might go or that desire, you know, or that interest. So, you know, we had a prophetic word over our church a long time ago, over our church and over our camp, and said that the ministry would be like a pebble in a pool or in a pond, that when you would throw it in, the ripples would go out, and you'd have no idea where they go. And so, you know, I thought about the scripture this week. Our theme was be brave. And as you see, Daniel Heron made us a life-size arrow up here. And if you missed Daniel Heron this week, you missed it, because he's just absolutely amazing. But The scripture says that as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. And so we have some powerful youth among us. And, you know, we train and we teach them and impart into them. And we say they're the church of tomorrow, but they truly are the church of today. And they will be running our country one of these days. So it pays to impart, it pays to teach, to train, you know, and to impart into them. Because one of these days they'll be doing the things that we've been doing, but hopefully to a better and greater scale, that God will just develop their ministries even into greater things. And I think we're going to see a lot of that in the days to come, because our cultures and even our technology is changing so rapidly that, you know, cell phones never used to be an issue at camp. I remember the year that, you know, we had to take them over to mom's house to call home to say we made it. And then they didn't get any other phone calls until they come back. And one little girl got filled with the Holy Ghost one night. She wanted to go call Grandma. And so she goes over and call Grandma. And Grandma says, "Oh, I don't believe it. Let me hear you." And so she, you know, she just, I remember making those phone calls to the, you know, to the parents saying, "They're here, they're safe, they're fine, and you'll hear from them when you get home." Now everybody here has a cell phone, you know, or and possibly an iPad and a tablet or whatever. And so it's just crazy how much it has changed over the years. But this morning, we always end our camp with letting the kids come up and adults and anybody that wants to just come up and share your testimony or what the Lord did for you at camp and what you experienced or what you enjoyed or whatever you want to say this morning. So who wants to go first? Who wants to be the first one to come and talk? Don't all of you rush at one time. Okay, it's going to be Tam and then... that's right.
I was thinking this week, you know, a lot of people complain about Facebook, but it's gossip and all that stuff and whatever it is. I try to use it for the ministry and try to pray for people and those kinds of things. And 35 years ago, we got a vision. Yeah. But the vision's grown, I mean, beyond what anybody would ever think. And if people don't know anything about Facebook, this is what they've done this week with it. They hold their phones up while something's going on, and they push live. And mom and dads and grandmas and churches seen it everywhere, all over across the country. Anybody that's affiliated with our church or anything, they got to see what was happening. To me, that's while it was happening, which to me is just amazing. I remember when we first got our cell phone, and me and Andy went on a trip, and he called his mom from Alaska, and he said, "It's amazing how this little thing here works." And I looked at this week, and I was telling Mona how it was working, and I think, this is amazing. It's like she said about the telephone. You know, I remember him going over to mom's and calling on the telephone, and I don't know how many times we might think in our week when we turn on the news of what this country's we think's coming to, and this politics and whatever's going on, and how sometimes we get discouraged. But I think we need to remind ourselves today that we have had hundreds of kids go back home. Yes. And they're making hundreds of different things happen in their churches. I think we're in good hands. And we need to remind ourselves of that. And when we think our country is going to, excuse my language, to hell in a handbasket, you pray for all these youth. Yes. That's what we need to do from now on. When we get discouraged, when we look at that TV, we need to pray for our youth, because they are our present and they are our future. And they are the ones going to take back what the adversary or whoever we want to say took it away from the church. The church isn't dead. We sometimes think it is, or we think the rest of the world's dead, and it's not. If you've seen how these people, these kids are, they come to the altar, and they're ready. I mean, all you got to do is say a prayer. I mean, we're going to start worship, and they're running up here the first night. And I think about 35 years ago how that wasn't like that. Papa would always say we got to prime the pump, and they wait till the last night, and all that. And I thought the other day, Papa be proud that we're still going on. And I looked at pictures when we was in the old sanctuary, and there was a banner up on the wall with this scribbling writing of some kind of scripture handwritten, and I thought, man, that was pitiful, but it worked. But now we got technology that helps us as our busy lives do things better. I mean, our husbands complain about Pinterest, but Pinterest helps a whole lot with camp. And technology's great. You talk about a theme, And God can give you what you need in a matter of seconds because we all live busy lives. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful we had good kids this week in my section. Good kids. And that's when they said they was going to send youth to me, I thought, oh, dear Lord, I've got to, you know. It wasn't that I didn't want them there. I wanted them there, but I wanted to make sure that they knowed. When people go out and play the guitar, they play or they preach, that's what people look at as ministry. But that kitchen down there and that youth over there is just as important ministry as somebody standing in the pulpit or somebody singing or whatever it is. And I wanted to make sure when they got there that they knew we wasn't having playtime, that we were doing something. So I tried to do an object lesson every day with the kids while they were there to show them that there's other ways to preach the gospel besides standing and preach to them. You can do any kind of little object thing, and they learned something out of it. They helped do a craft with them. They played Bible bingo. They sang songs. They came in Friday morning, and they done the songs with them. And they actually had fun, and that was good. And I'm just amazed. The other night, Josh talked about how that if you have a dream or if you have something that you want to do, you need to proclaim it. And he was getting kids to come up, and they was praying over him. And the Lord dealt with me in church at night. When you get back over there tomorrow, you sit down with these kids. It doesn't matter whether they're 2 or they're 10. They can have a dream too, and God can use them. So we got in a big circle, and we prayed. And you know, I asked them what they wanted to be when they growed up and what their dream was. And we had architects and scientists and, you know, veterinarians and all kinds of stuff. And we prayed over them. And I'm thankful that God's given us a vision. And we had a path that let kids do whatever they needed to do. We all got a ministry. And I'm thankful that we've got that instilled in us, that we could tell those kids that you can do whatever you want. You're not small. You're not too little. If they want to sing and they want to dance, we can do it. And I'm thankful that we've got that vision. Sometimes us older ones think like we're getting too old for this. But I'm thankful that the young's coming in and they're helping us a little bit of a time. And maybe it's not as fast as we want them to. But the Lord reminded me this week that maybe we want to do it in our timing sometimes and not in God's timing. And sometimes we just got to wait till the next one that comes along to fill in the spot. And the truth be known, it'd be hard for us to sit down and just watch. So I am just thankful for a good week. It's tiring. We're worn out. We're apprehensive when it first starts. But then we get in here and we see how the flow of God is, we know. And if you can't be here, that's fine, and we understand, but we covered your prayers, we covered your money, or whatever you've done to help. No man is an island, and nothing that you've done is insignificant. So if all you gave this week was money, that's great, and if all you did this week was pray. But it's important that you know that whatever you've done this week didn't go without notice, and it helped. Because it's like she said, when the pebble goes out, when we see the people that come back 30 years ago, they're bringing their kids, and their kids are running with it. So you know what's it going to be like 30 years from now. And one day we won't be here, but the ministry is still going to be gone. And I'm just thankful.
Bear with me for a moment because this might be long, it might be short, I'm not quite sure yet. We'll see what happens, but this year for camp was interesting for me because it was different for me than what I'm used to. You know, I've always been a part of camp, and this year wasn't different, I was a part of camp, but I was at the least amount of camp this year than I've ever been in my whole life because this year's been a transition year for me, you know. I just graduated college. I just started a new job. So with this new job, I had to work, and I work in Martinsburg, so I don't get home till 6 o'clock in the evening. So I missed all the sessions. I missed morning session. I missed dinner. All I was there for is the night service. And that was okay because I knew what I was doing, and that was all right. And, you know, everyone has that year that they just have to get some things together first before you can jump back into being in the swing of it every year. But this year I thought, you know what? I am going through this transition period. I've had a lot of things going on. I don't really know the youth here this year. It was a lot of new kids, and I'm not there during the days to get to know them. So I'm just going to kind of sit back a little and let God deal with me. I'm just going to let God minister to me instead of really trying to get out there and minister to these kids. You know, I need some refreshing, and I need some things done in my life. And God was faithful to that. He did minister to me, you know. There were some things that he built in me, some things he showed me, but he never ceases to push me outside of my comfort zone, to push me a little bit farther. And it was like Monday night, God was like, all right, I'll do what you said. I'll minister to you. I'll have some people speak over you. I'll have some people pray over you. I'll refresh you. But then after that, you're going back to what I've called you to. But then after that, it's like every night then God was building me up a little bit more to minister to somebody new and somebody new. And by Thursday night, I felt like every single person that I looked at, God had given me a word for. And, you know, when I was in high school, when I was a teenager, you know, I was on fire for God. And I was all over that. And I felt so close to him and so, like, right in my spirit, like I was doing the right thing. And then I went through college and I had a great relationship with God. I still have a great relationship with God, but God, he taught me some things. You know, he knocked me down off my pedestal a little bit in a good way, because I was getting a little too confident, I think. And I went through some struggles and I went through some trials, and God really burst some new things in me and taught me a lot of new things. And just in the last couple years, God has been teaching me so many new things and showing me so many new things that I didn't even think were possible. There's a couple of stories that if you ever want to hear about some crazy God experiences, I've got them for you. Some of you in here probably know what I'm talking about. But this year was no different. I feel like just in this last 2 or 3 months, God has taught me some amazing things and showed me some amazing things. And on Thursday night, I was standing up at the altar, and Lexi was praying for me, I think, but I'm not really sure. I was just kind of like in a mode of worship, and I just started like crumbling. Like, it's one of those where your knees just kind of give out. And I went to stand up, and I couldn't. I couldn't stand up. There was the presence of God was like holding me down, and so I'm hunched over, and then again it happens, and my knees go out a little bit more, and I buckle a little bit more. And I'm like, okay, God, what are you doing here? And then I buckle a little bit more till I'm down on my knees. So then I'm down on my knees. I'm like, all right, I'm on my knees, I'm praising. And then it happens a little bit more till my forehead was touching the ground. And I had just prayed over someone about heeding to the Spirit. And I said that whatever that means, heed to the Spirit. If it means praying on the floor with your face touching the ground, worshiping God, then heed. And I heard the words God saying to me, practice what you preach. Because sometimes I want to get a little too high up on my pedestal, and I want to say, I'm not going to put my face on the ground and pray. That's beneath me, or whatever, you know. And I'm not saying that to myself, but that's the feelings that are going on through my head. And I heard God saying to me, practice what you preach. And so, you know, I just crumbled at that point, and I was just like all out on the floor for God. And so I'm just down, just humbling myself. And I hear God speaking to me after that, talking about when David danced in the streets and his undergarments, and him, and then being like how embarrassing that is for him and all that, and him, his response being, I'll become more undignified than this. And that's what was going through my head at that point, that, you know what, I'll become more undignified than this, because sometimes you just need to humble yourself in the presence of God. And so then Brooke Sherwood came up, and she was ministering to me, and as God's putting that scripture through my head about, you know, humbling myself and giving everything I have to God and letting go of who I am and becoming who he is, she comes over and starts praying to me about humbling myself and about how God is telling me to be humble. And I mean, literally seconds before that, God is ministering to me about that. And so then she comes over, but what she follows it up with is that God was setting me up for something new in my life. You know, I've expressed this to some of you and I've expressed it in my life, but I really feel called to do, you know, travel. I feel called to go in the nations and to minister and speak. And I think what she was speaking over me and what I was hearing for God is that God was humbling me to be in that position on the sands of the earth. That wherever I go, I'm going to humble myself to God and show who he is. And I'm going to become more undignified than this wherever I go. And I just, I felt this presence telling me that there are I'm going to be able to be in that position, in that place of humble, in that place of fully giving myself over to God, loosing myself and becoming who he is on the sands of the earth, everywhere I go. And so that was just something really new and amazing that God was teaching me. And I feel like, you know, he's really setting me up for something big in the next few years to come, and I'm really excited for that. But this week of camp, though I was there the least amount of time ever in my whole life, God moved in my life more this week than maybe any of the other ones I've been to. And it was really amazing to see how that happened. And, you know, God showed me some stuff with Lexi, and if she wants to share more about with you, she can, but I'm going to let her tell you that because that's her story, not mine. But he was just really showing me a lot of new things this year and things that were out of my comfort zone and things that were new to me. But I'm just so grateful that God is faithful and that he's faithful beyond what you think he is. Because I knew he would minister to me when I asked him to. I knew that that was going to happen. But he pushed me out of my comfort zone again, and he reminded me what my calling is and what my purpose is and who I'm called in him. And so that's really just a lot of what this camp was for me. It was a reminder of where my place is, a reminder of who God is to me, and just that no matter what I want from him, he has a calling and purpose in my life that he's going to work through me. So.
All right, Lex.
Yeah, she did. She did. Yeah. I guess it's my turn to go because that follows up with Brooke's story, but it wasn't really. I've been praying a lot about God just speaking to me, because we talked about a lot in Bible study. Jeremy was talking a lot about how people always are like, well, you know, the Lord said this to me, and then he was telling me a story about the whole Bible study session about Liza and how Liza asked him at the beginning of their marriage, like, well, what does God sound like, you know, like, what does his voice sound like to you, is it audible, like, what is it? And Jeremy's kind of like, it's just kind of like your own voice, you know. And I was like, well, God, you know, God's never spoken to me, like, I don't know, I can't tell the difference between what I'm thinking, like, what if I just want to go, like, hug this person because, like, they're my friend, or, like, do they need this hug, like, you know. And he was like, it's basically just a peace over your heart, and it's a settling over your heart. And I was just like, throughout the week, I had been praying, you know, like, I want to hear God, like, I want to be able to go up to someone and minister and be like, hey, God said this to me about you, and you, blah, 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 about what God said to me about what I needed to tell you, and all this stuff. And so I'd been praying, like, you know, Lord, just speak to me, like, I want to know you more, like how we've been singing that song, you know, make me brave in who you are so I can share your word for other people and what you want me to tell people. So then, I don't remember, Thursday night, what you told me? Yeah, it was the end of the week when we had been talking all through Bible study about speak to me, Lord, like, you know, like, this is what it's like for that to happen. And I was like, you know, I've never encountered that. Well, Thursday night, Brooke comes up to me, and she speaks to me and tells me that, actually, it was you and Caitlin Lamp, too. Caitlin Lamp said a similar thing to me about prophecy, and my worship is a prophecy, and it might not be through words that I can speak to someone, but through my ministry, through dance, I can connect to someone. And that meant a lot to me, too. And Caitlin Lamp also told me, she said that no matter what you're doing, you will be comforted by God and through your worship, and he will heal you. So don't, no matter, like jumping around up here, don't worry about it, because God's got a hold of you as you're doing it, and it'll speak to someone, and you'll be healed doing it. And so then Thursday night, I was up here praying, you know, I had asked Brooke, I was like, where is this girl? Like, I've seen her, I don't know her name, like, I never really got to know her throughout camp, but I was like, I need to talk to her, like, I know what I want to say, but I couldn't find where she's at. So I'm looking all around for her, and then Brooke gets me before I even make it to this girl, and she starts praying for me or whatever, and the music's really loud behind us, so here, we're standing right there on that step, and everybody's around the altar, no intentions for me to be prayed over, like, at all. I'd already been prayed over, and I mean, I'm not saying, like, you can't, like, be prayed over too many times, like, that's not what I'm saying, but, like, at that moment, I wasn't asking for prayer, like, I was trying to find someone to pray to, and Brooke comes up to me and starts laying hands on my knee, and it's just, like, basically what Josh said, like, declare it over your life. And one of the things that I declared that night was, I'm going to be healed. And Brooke, and Madison Blazer too, she was part of this too, but Brooke was the one speaking to me, and after, like, she was just screaming, like, you know, 100%, no more surgeries, like, you're, this is done, like, you are healed of the Lord, and that went along with what Caitlin said too about being healed, like, as you, like, when you worship for God, like, you'll be healed, because by His stripes we're healed and everything. And after service, or I don't even know if it was after service or during, whatever, but her and Madison both said they literally felt my tendons and my bones aligning as they were praying for me. And I mean, it feels great. Like, I mean, I have declared, like, you know, I've been healed. Like, that's basically my testimony for this week, is that that happened to me. But two, along with that, that comes, sorry, I'm stuffy, I'm kind of sick. I'm like just nodding in the microphone, I'm sorry. thank you, buddy. Thank you. Yeah, you're right. But along with what Caitlin said, everything about my knee and how I'll be healed through worship, and what Brooke did about the healing through me or whatever, my prayers were also answered about me speaking to people. I mean, after Brooke had prayed for me, and I sat down on the step for a little bit, and I stood up, and I was shaking, and I wasn't even doing anything. Lisa was just talking, and I'm like standing here shaking or whatever. But after Brooke had got done praying for me, I stood up and I saw that girl that I wanted to pray for before Brooke started praying for me, and I was like you know, like I had looked for her for maybe 10 minutes before Brooke started praying for me, and I was like, and after Brooke had prayed for me and Caitlin had like said like all this stuff, and Brooke had prayed prophecy over me or whatever, I stood up and I saw that girl, and I went and prayed for her, and then I looked around and one of my friends was here, and she had never been filled with the Holy Ghost or whatever, and she was gone. And I was like, well, I didn't get to her, you know, so I was kind of discouraged. But I saw that someone was here that could relate to her. And so I went up there and I was like, can you stand in for her? Like, I just feel the need to pray for her. So, like, throughout this week at camp, through the prophecy and through what I had been praying for, God had answered my prayers about me being able to go speak to people, giving me words to go say to people. And it wasn't all through words the whole time. Like, I mean, I spoke in tongues, obviously, a lot to people, and I prayed for people, and I prophesied through my worship, like, people had prophesied to me. I was healed through the Holy Spirit. I mean, I went and gave words to people, like, people gave words to me, and it just all kind of fit together, and that's basically my testimony for camp, that, like, obviously, God is faithful, you know, and He does answer prayers, and He will work through you, and so you can work through other people and into your own life. And two, this has nothing to do with me, and I'm not going to tell her story, but she's not here. But I was really proud of Ricky this week, because I've kind of been with her through a lot of her trials and everything, and it really made me proud of her this week to see how much she had grown in the Holy Spirit, because I know all that she's gone through, and I was just really proud of her to see the way she was entering in and, like, all the stuff that she wouldn't have done last year or a couple months ago, but just the way to see how God had worked through her was really awesome, too. And I don't have to stand up here and tell you guys scriptures for you all to know that lives have been changed, and I don't have to stand up here and preach to you for an hour for you guys to know that God worked through here throughout the week of camp. And, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, obviously we get stuff out of the messages that are an hour long and when people talk about scriptures, but me personally, I don't have to stand up here and preach to you guys for you all to know that people were changed and God was here this week.
Okay, stick with me because I have camp boys and I'm already crying. Okay, so this was my 7th year and I was a counselor. And I was able to talk to kids and, like, just get words over them. Morning crying. Anyway, and it was amazing being a counselor and being able to talk to these kids, and, like, I was able to be brave. Like, it was amazing that I could just go up to someone and tell them something that I wouldn't be able to do usually. And on the last day, a camper came up to me and she said, "You inspire me," and that really, like, hit home for me, because I don't think I inspired, like, anyone, but it just been a lot. So, again, this was my first year of college, And my anxiety was, I mean, insane. So Be Brave was, like, the perfect theme for me. Like, when I heard that that was a theme, I was like, what? Like, that's crazy. So camp this year was just, I was able to just get out there and really say what I wanted to say. And it was super great. I loved it. I love you guys.
I think normally I'm always up front and entering in and everything else because I was a camper for so many years. But I think this year was more about me stepping back and kind of just watching and actually seeing the younger crowd get up here. I mean, I'm still young, sorry. Okay. But I just felt like this year I should just kind of like hang back and work more on personal connections than actually be up front. And I saw a lot of kids that this year was, I don't know, I want to say it was a little different because there weren't as many kids that first night that really wanted to get up and join in. And, you know, sometimes I saw like at lunch or at dinner time, there would be some kids sitting by themselves. And it was crazy to watch because towards the end of the week, they weren't doing that, you know. They were starting to, I guess, realize or open up this year. And it was really great to see, to actually sit back and watch. And normally I just, you know, I just go down to the pond, do my thing, come back. But this year I had a young man down there, and he was telling me about how rough it is in his area. And I can kind of relate from where I work and all. I understand roughness. And so we got to talk almost the entire week. And, I mean, he's came to camp a couple years, but he's never really opened up. And I just felt like I got through to him this year, and it was just great to see.
All right, I'm still trying to get good at this being brave thing, but... I'm going to try it anyway. All right. I'm going to try to not cry either. So it's not very easy, but yeah. All right. I'll try my best. All right. So this year was a little different for me as well. I think it was kind of a transition year for everyone a little bit. But it came very fast this year. I didn't really have time to prepare, I don't think, for it mentally, physically at all. So I've been super busy. It just kind of hit me. I didn't really come in with one specific expectation necessarily, other than that I knew God was going to show up and, you know, he was going to move and, you know, do his thing. So I just kind of came in going with the flow, not really, you know, asking for anything particular. Lisa's really been preaching recently about being sensitive to the Spirit and being able to hear like he can hear, see like he can see, and, you know, just know he's everywhere all the time and know you're secure. And it's really been in my heart, and I really just wanted to be more sensitive. I mean, you know, I've always been sensitive, but not how I want to be. So, you know, I've been praying about it and everything, and actually, I mean, he speaks to me at the weirdest places, like cars, like not when I'm in church. So I was actually taking a shower Thursday night before service, and I was like, man, tonight's the last night of service, like I have to speak on Sunday. Like, that's the only thing that was in my head. I was like, darn it. Like, I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what I'm going to do. And that, you know, I started getting anxious because I don't do this stuff. So I'm just not a naturally brave person. And that's okay. You know, not everybody. It's not everyone's personality. So I was really just like, you know, you're going to tell me what to say, you know, make me not nervous or whatever. And I prayed about it, and then, you know, I was over it. And then, you know, a couple minutes later, I was getting ready, and I just heard him say in my head, you know, your personality is not your mentality. You know, you're born a certain way. I actually Googled personality and mentality because I wanted to be right. I wanted to know that what I heard and what I felt was accurate. You know, I just wanted the confirmation. And So I actually Googled them, and your personality is a set of characteristics that you're born with. It's who you are. It's technically in your DNA, which, you know, everyone's different in it. That's, I mean, awesome. You know, everyone shouldn't be the same. And, you know, I'm not a naturally brave person. I don't, you know, I live in fear a lot. I'm not super outgoing, and that's okay. And so I was like, all right, cool, you know, like, I can handle that. So I Googled them, and then, you know, mentality is your state of thinking, though. So you don't have to be a brave person to still be brave. And it's really been speaking to me and to my heart, you know, knowing that I don't have to be naturally brave, but, you know, through God and through the Holy Spirit, that you can be brave. And that just really empowered me, and I hope, you know, that it can empower you guys as well. And, I mean, I'm just really blessed by our youth as well. I mean, I know I'm still young and I'm still youth technically, but, you know, they really blessed me, and I love watching them be able to, you know, to do their thing. So, I also have been wanting to, kind of like what Lexi was saying, you know, reach people. I love people, and I have a heart for people, and I just want to be able to, you know, touch people. Amen. I just want to help people, and how Lisa was praying, you know, find your slingshot. You know, I have one for the time being. You know, I do hair, and I love doing hair, but I don't think that's my real slingshot. And, you know, just because I haven't found it yet doesn't mean I'm not going to. I know, you know, I have purpose, and there's something in my heart, and I'm going to find it. So, you know, you can have more than one. So, you know, while I'm waiting for the right one, I'm just going to, you know, be confident in where I am and where God's placed me, and do the best I can. So, thanks.
I haven't done this before, so I'm a little nervous. When I was at camp this week, when I was up here, I guess Thursday or Monday, Friday, I was jumping, and then it hurt, but the next day I was healed, and then, like, on Tuesday when I came, me and Jackson, we talked, we played, I made a new friend, and that's all I can say. The last day I was at church, but... Mommy was coming with me, and in the last day I was here on Friday, I was jumping like Liam was. And I slided. I was in class, and I was joined in the day with God.
Brave in a seat. I don't think Care Bear wants to do it. Can I do it?
Sure.
Okay, sure.
Care Bear, do you want to try?
Did you like camp?
Uh-uh.
No. She did in our heart. Yeah. No. I want to start by saying and telling our, I keep trying to find a word for you all. Our 20s counselors, so, yeah, they were younger than us, they were counselors, people kept calling them junior counselors, but our counselors, and that's what was told to me, was our 20s counselors, Kellen, Morgan, Caleb, Brooke, and Brooke, but specifically Morgan and Caleb, that they were impressed by the spirit that was on you, and that they loved that you were here, not because your church needed you to be here as an extra hand, and not because you were just here to have fun, but because you wanted to be here. And so I just wanted to let you know that your heart was seen this week, and that you touched hearts just by being here and just by loving what you were doing and just by loving on kids and loving on God. And I appreciate that in you. It was a good week. I, like Brooke, felt like this week, and Caleb, I connected with more kids one-on-one this week than I have in a really long time. And I felt really refreshed at the end of the week myself, more so leaving camp than I had in a really long time. As a camper, as a kid, I had a lot of trouble being brave. If y'all remember me and me being glued to my mother's side for probably the first 19 years of my life, I had a little bit of an issue with being brave. I know, I slept right above Aunt Lisa. for those of you who don't know, we went to camp one year, and I was freaking out because my mother was not going, even though Dad and Terry and Lisa were all going, and I was like melting down and not wanting to go, and they made me go, and I slept in the same bunk bed as Lisa, right above her, and I had to go hug Terry every morning because she was close enough to Mom, and I was 17. Like, I was not the 10-year-old camper. I was 17. So I had a little bit of trouble being brave, and over the years I've learned to kind of conquer that a little bit more. But I really, really felt God moving some things in my spirit this week. I had just told Eric on Friday night while we were at dinner. And he was, you know, talking about my new job, and are you excited? And I said, you know, I'm excited to be working with my friends, but this isn't really what I want to do. I said, honestly, Eric, I said, I don't know what I want to do. And he was like, well, you know, he said, just get the next set of letters, and then we'll figure it out from then. It's no big deal. And I'm like, okay, you know. And so we were standing here Wednesday night, and I came in at the end of Josh Button's, or I guess it was Tuesday night, was Josh, wasn't it? And I came in at the end of Josh's preaching message, thank you. And so I didn't really even hear it, because I was putting my kids to bed and then coming in. So I came in at the end of it, and I didn't really hear what he was saying. And then he was up here, and he was saying, you know, just to clear out what it is that you want to do. And so I'm standing there, and I'm like, okay, God, I don't know what I want to do. We've had this conversation this weekend already. I don't know what it is that I want to do. And except that I want to help broken children heal. And so that's what I just kept saying. You know, that's if you don't know what I do, I'm a clinical therapist. And in my office, I work with traumatized children on a regular basis. And so I said, God, I just want to help broken children heal. And as I just kept saying that, God, I just want to help broken children heal. I just want to help broken children heal. And then he began to just pull up inside of me this dream that I had thought of sort of and vaguely, but of the center and of what I could do and this model that I could do. And I shared it with Lisa. And as I'm sharing it with Lisa, I'm just like sobbing at the table, you know, and that was uncomfortable. And yeah, because, you know, I got to keep that straight face on. But I really felt like God opened some things in my spirit to be working towards. And so as my husband said, as I'm working towards this next set of letters that would make it a possibility for me to achieve this dream, that's where I'm working towards. And in the process, just helping broken children heal. And I felt like we did that this week. Sometimes I feel like, and in my own job, and sometimes at camp, I feel like we've just put a Band-Aid on kids and then sent them back on their way. You know, and I don't think we put any Band-Aids on this week. I don't think that we were just wrapping it up and saying, okay, you can make it till next year. I think we were helping broken children heal. And I really believe that we made some differences in this life, that when we sent kids back, they're not going to come back the same way next year, needing us to just put another Band-Aid on, that they're going to be ready for the next level. They're going to be ready for their next letters, right? We're not just sending them back with a Band-Aid over their heart saying, God loves you and it's going to be okay and we'll see you next June. No, we sent them back healed. And you all had a part in that. So thank you for helping broken children heal this week.
Praise the Lord. You know, I've been able to sit back for the last couple years. You know, I'm not much count for anybody but to pray, but I do pray. But I was thinking, you know, as they were doing the dance and all the different things, that how many children that you have, and Crystal, of course, helped you, but how many children have you taught to dance? And over the years, probably thousands that have gone back to their own churches and taken it with them. And if they can take a little bit with them, we had a couple people this year say, you all's conferences is really good, but camp is really better. We really like camp. But they had never been here before and had never experienced what joy and what God really does in the lives of these children. And when they're not children, they're young adults. So, but Lynn said the other night when everybody was prophesying to each other, he said three people came up, three of the kids came up to him and prophesied to him, and it was right on. So, you know, God was really speaking. It was not a forceful thing or something that they were trying to make happen on their own. It was really happening. And I was just blessed to be able to sit back and watch what God has done and to see your group now with other groups, you know, coming in and taking your spots. And one of these days they'll be taking your spot, Sherry, And Trish, I think, is already taking over Lisa's spot. And but you know, if we do not see the next group of young people do better than what we did, then we have failed what we were trying to do all these years. But I think when I looked at it this year, I thought we've done a great job because they've all done really well. And I didn't hear anybody grumbling or complaining or whining or any of that, you know. But it was just awesome to just watch what was going on. And even in the back of the church, I mean, it wasn't all going on up here. I was sitting back there, and there were people being touched and crying and really overwhelmed with the Spirit of God. And I just thought, this is awesome. If everybody could have a place where they could go and be safe. And this is a safe place. This is a comfortable place. This is a place where God will move if we will allow him to move. And I want the church to know that it doesn't have to stop for us after camp. We can still stay in that same move and that same spirit and that same joy and move when God says move. Don't sit back and question and say, well, is this God or is this not God? Or, you know, as long as it's uplifting and edifying, go ahead. You say, well, what if it's not God? Well, what if it is? What if it is? What if it is? You know, Lynn says when he preaches, he has a tremendous pain in his chest. It goes back over his ribs like that. He said that one little kid's prayed for him the other night. And he said he hadn't had it anymore when I talked to him yesterday. So, I mean, it's real, folks. I'm telling you, this gospel works. This gospel works. Praise the Lord.
I don't like being brave. I did go to sleepaway camp, and I slept with Terry one night. That was a rough night. That was bravery. Yes. Amen. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, thank God for Aunt Terry. Amen. Well, I am going to cry. I'll just warn you. I always cry. Thank you. As a mom of two little girls, sometimes it's a little difficult for me to have all my stuff together all the time and be on time and, you know, prepared. And this year, I volunteered. I don't know why I did that, but to the praise band, Hannah and I kind of had a vision to do something like a combined session, because I feel like when we worship, dance is a big part of that in our assembly. So I thought, well, why don't we try that? Why don't we, you know? And so she had this song, and so we had a plan, which is good for me, because I'm not very good at that sometimes. And so being a mom, and, you know, I'm running around, and I always think, well, did I accomplish? Like, I never feel like I get anything done, or what I wanted to do, I never feel like I get all of it just right. You know, like, oh, should have done this different, or should have done that. And we got up to sing that night, my piano, there was no sound, so I'm, okay. But our theme was being brave, and sometimes, well, all the time, being brave isn't about not having any fear. It's about saying, okay, well, I'm really scared, but I'm going to do it anyway. And a lot of my fear was, I'm okay with failing, but I don't like anybody else to see it. And so when I think people see me fail, I think sometimes, like, knocks you down a peg, you know what I mean? Like, okay, well, you take two steps forward and one step back, you know? So I was kind of worried, and, you know, our sessions were, it was a new style of doing it. You know, we did it more of a worship team than we did a regular choir, and so I had a lot more responsibility this year, and I really wanted to do, be honorable for the house, and, you know, I wanted to do this right. And so all these things, you know, piano's not working. And so after the performance, even though I thought they did a great job, I was so impressed. Even then, I still thought, man, I wish that would have gone as well as it did in my head. You know, like, if you could be in here, man, it sounded and looked really good. And so, and I didn't tell anybody that. And then later, I got a couple messages on Facebook from some of the pastors and from some of the kids in the session that said, thank you. You know, I appreciated what you did this year and the energy and the life. And even though it was different, how much fun we had. And I thought, dang it. You know, sometimes you can be really hard on yourself because you think you're failing, because you failed at the attempt. It is about the attempt, because you attempted it. But if people see you fail, but you get back up and you try it again, and you do it with a heart that says, all right, well, even though it didn't go like I thought, or it didn't go like in my head, there was nothing wrong with that. And we can fix it. We can try it again. So next year, when we do this again, we'll have a little bit of experience, and we'll have a little bit less fear, because we're all in this together, and nobody is sitting in the pew saying, man, she ruined that, or, you know, like, well, yeah, it's not. I'm happy that this is an encouraging house. It's a safe place for the kids as well as counselors. I say all the time, camp isn't just for the youth that are attending. It's for my babies. It's for me. It's for older generations. It's for everybody. And I'm just glad to be a part of that. And I feel like I got a hold of the message, and I'm going to try and be brave. Amen. Yes, and my little one was singing You Make Me Brave in the car the other day, so I thought, well, if nothing else, that's why I go to camp. Yeah. Amen.
I normally don't do this. Sixty years ago, I was 12 years old. I attended camp. It was called Camp Penn. I'm an old Evangelical United Brethren, in case anybody up here remembers, like Snyder's used to be an EUB, First Church used to be an EUB. Amen. We went to Camp Penn. It was all donated by my father's Bible class. They collected money and sent the kids that wanted to go to camp to camp. Well, I just went to impress upon all these young people out here, and, of course, the older folks also. There are memories that last a lifetime. You're doing something with the Lord that a lot of people don't get the opportunity to do. My two granddaughters, not by blood, but my granddaughters, are prime examples, I feel. And of course, I don't know where my daughter went. Oh, she's back there. They're prime examples of what a church and a church camp can do. So, during the coming year, if you're asked to participate, if you're asked for financially, please see it in your heart to do whatever you can do. Amen. And that to me is what I wanted to express this morning to everybody. Again, I'm not a speaker, but it was just in my heart that I had to get up and move. God bless you all, and don't forget, camp doesn't stop today. Camp is all year long. Okay? Who's next?
I was just going to follow up a little bit with what Tom just said. When we started this 35 years ago, and Lisa and Jim and Lynn and Dad and all talked about it. Thank you, Monty. First of all, we were a family of seven children, and so you just didn't go a lot. You didn't do a lot of things because you couldn't afford it. And we would sit on the hill and hope that people would come, never dreaming that the nations would come. And so they started out planning it. I was still a teenager then. I was just dating Jim at the time. And the question was, okay, if we're going to do this, how are we going to pay for it? And, you know, God, Daddy always said, you can't outgive God. Uh-huh. That you can't charge. He said, well, what do we charge? He said, you can't charge because I couldn't afford to send all seven of my children to camp. He said, how much is a soul worth? And that has rang in my spirit my whole life. When there's something to do or something to give, how much is a soul worth? You can't put a price on that. And this is not a cheap operation. I wrote a check on Friday before camp started for $6,359 just for groceries for the week. But God has always been faithful to bring that in. And so, you know, I don't really worry about it. I know we have budgets, and I know we could, you know, need to be careful when we order, and I try to keep things to a minimum. But I wrote the check knowing
that whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. Knowing that if you cast your bread on the water, it's going to come back after many days. We have never had a time when we had to say we can't do camp this year because we can't afford it. I'm just thankful for his provision and for his provision in our own lives and for the heritage and those things that have been instilled in us and our mother and father instilled in us that said, you know, God will provide for you. You know, we gave offering this morning for the flood victims. The last time there was a flood in 98, Jim was going to college. He got laid off from his job. And Dad had said the week before, you know, pray in your heart what you want to give. And so we had to determine what we were going to give. We thought we still had some unemployment coming in. And when the Saturday came, the Sunday was the next morning, it's okay, what are we going to do? Because we didn't have any more unemployment, realized that was our last check. Do we put this check in the offering or do we keep it? And we decided that, you know what, this check, if we do it this week or we do it and we spend it this week and we don't have it next week, it's not going to make any difference. Because if we're going to be hungry, we'll either be hungry this week or next. So let's just go ahead and put the check in the offering. And that's what we did. We went on vacation immediately following. His parents gave us gas money to come down and see us. They wanted to see us because he'd been in college. On that trip, some people tracked him down in South Carolina and offered him a job. But they offered him a job paying 10 times what that check was that morning. And so God has always, and it reinforced that to me because Dad would always say, you give God, he'll give you 10 times over. And it was exactly 10 times the amount of money. And so I've learned in my life to not worry about it because you really can't outgive God. Give of your time, give of your heart, give of your spirit. There will be all those things will come back to you wave on wave. So thank you for letting me be a part of it.
Oh, I didn't know all these people were here.
I'm Penny Johnson, and I'm from Texas. I've been from all over, but right now I'm from Texas. And I really felt that I should come to camp this summer, and I really didn't know why. As you can see, I'm a little old to be a camper, but, you know, I told Lisa, I'll do whatever, and she was so kind. Instead of sending me with the young girls who stayed up all night, she sent me with Terry, who at least goes to bed at night. So, yeah. And yeah, right. And it was awesome. I had a wonderful time, and I've met so many sweet, precious people here. You guys have such a sweet spirit, and I love it. I was telling Terry, I said, you know, I think I'd like to move here. And she started laughing. She says, a lot of people say that. But that night when Josh was preaching and said, we need to start declaring. You know, I've heard that before, you know, through the years. And anyway, so I thought, well, you know, I'm going to do it. So I started, I didn't go down front, but I started some declaring some things. And I have this one friend at home, and she is a nurse practitioner. And she had it in her heart that she was going to move to Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, because there was she could take a job there that made, you know, $120,000 a year, and she, you know, was going to do it and asked me if I'd help her, and I said, well, I talked to her as though she's a believer. She's not. But I talked to her that way anyway. God just put it on my heart to do that. And so I said, well, you know, let's pray about it and those kinds of things. She called me last night. I was praying for her that God would speak to her heart. And she called me last night at 9:30. Well, she usually goes to bed at 7 o'clock, so I don't know what that was. And she was crying, and I said, DC, what's going on? She says, I've got the job in New Mexico, and she says, I've been trying to buy a house, and I've got the money, and God's just closing the door. I said, really? I said, God is closing the door? She says, yeah. It has to be God, because she says everything else was working and I can't find a place to live and da 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 da, and she's going on and on and on. And she starts talking about God to me. It's like, God, I just declared that last Tuesday or whatever. And I mean, it was pretty awesome. So then I said to her, I said, well, that just has God's fingerprints all over it, doesn't it? She said, yeah, it does. I said, well, have you remembered to thank him for it? Well, I'm not there yet, but I'm coming. I'm getting there. I said, well, let's just pray right now. She said, okay. So we prayed right then and there on the phone, 10 o'clock at night. And I'm saying, God, this is a miracle. I just prayed about this. And look, it's going on. It's happening. So I am so excited to get home. And she said, oh, as soon as you get home, come over. We've got to talk. And you know what? I'm praying that I can lead her to the Lord, that I can introduce her personally to Jesus. So you pray with me. Well, I want that to happen when I get home. I'm excited. I'm leaving Tuesday.
Anyway, appreciated having Penny with us this week. You have anything?
This being brave thing. When we first started having camp meetings and everything, and we bring ideas in and all of that, and I made the T-shirt and brought the idea of this being brave, and it was kind of the same, along the same lines as what a lot of people were already thinking anyway. We vote on the idea and all that kind of stuff, and so that worked. And I was so thankful that it's be brave, because that's kind of I've been in a brave season for a while, and being brave doesn't mean that you're not fearful. Because I got to tell you, I'm fearful of a lot of things. But that doesn't mean that I'm not brave. And I think it's funny that those people that stood up here this week and even this morning said, I'm not naturally a brave person. But I want to tell you that your brave is not my brave, and my brave is not yours. And what might take every ounce of bravery inside of you to do might not be a struggle for me, and vice versa. And, you know, we talked about brave this week a lot with teenagers, and it's easy to talk about it with teenagers because they're growing and they're making decisions and they're stepping into new things. And you know, we can see bravery in them. But, you know, bravery is an adult thing, too. You know, we have to be brave in the decisions that we make and the time that we put forth. And, you know, God's been talking to me a lot about bravery. And, you know, we have to be brave enough to just be tired sometimes. You know, Lisa says you have to be crazy to do youth camp. You have to be brave to do youth camp because it wears you out. It wears on your body. It does all of those things. But, you know, I've always thought that anything worth doing is worth doing well. And the young adults this week really impressed me. I wasn't here a lot this week either, because I'm being brave. You know, when God calls you to something new, and you, I've not been here on youth camps before because of having to work. But those weren't brave situations. Now, I was mad that I wasn't here those years. This year, it took a whole lot more bravery because what I'm doing and the work that I'm doing right now is really out of my comfort zone, and that's okay. But like I said, you know, bravery doesn't mean that you're not scared. Bravery doesn't mean that your knees don't knock. You know, this week, talk about being brave. My uncle passed away last weekend, and I went into the viewing on Tuesday, and as soon as I got there, my cousin came up to me and she said, I don't think that me or my sister can say anything at the funeral. Can you do it? Okay. Yeah, I can do that. You know, check, make sure it's okay with your mom. You know, let me know. If you want me to do that, I'll do that. Because, you know, that's kind of a hard thing to do. But as far as my family goes, I was probably about as close to that uncle as anybody. And so I did that, and that was a brave thing for me to do. But, you know, we're in this brave season, and what I just keep feeling is that, you know, we look at these things as if there's a step, the bravery is a step in the process. And so this happens, we need to be brave, it's resolved, it's over, go on. I was brave, okay, we're done. But, you know, the fact is sometimes that we have to be brave in this ongoing thing that just takes a lot longer than we think it's going to take. It doesn't look like we thought it was going to look like. It takes, you know, all this time and all this effort, and it doesn't look like we think it's going to look. And that's brave, too, to just stick it out, to trust God, to trust the promises that he's made to you, and be brave in doing that, even though you still don't see it yet. And so we talked about a lot of different people this week in the Bible that were brave. And so we talked about David and we talked about Gideon. I was thinking about Gideon yesterday. And, you know, we talk about Gideon being brave because the angel of the Lord came to him and said, "Oh, mighty man of valor." And Gideon looks around and he says, "Who, me?" And that story went on and Gideon was brave in battle and did what he needed to do. But, you know, what Gideon was doing in the moment, he was being brave. In that moment, he was hiding wheat so that people wouldn't starve. And so that's brave. He was being brave before anybody ever called him brave, before anybody ever called him valiant, before anybody ever said that he was brave, he was being brave. So don't say that you're not naturally brave, because your brave is different than my brave. You know, there's things that you do that I think, I can never do that. I don't want to ever do that. Please don't make me do that. So, you know, you find your brave. You show me your brave, because your brave's different than mine. I'll show you my brave, okay? But my brave's different than you, okay? And you might think that, oh, well, that isn't very hard, or I don't know why you're struggling with that so much, but it's different, you know? My brave's different than yours. So show me your brave and the things that you do.
Professor has arrived. I braved the boys' dorm this year. Just kidding. But seriously, there was, we actually had a really hard time finding a cleanest camper for boys because they were disgusting this year. And not even, I mean, it wasn't even like they're obnoxious about it, but they were just like, they just didn't care. They just had, anyways, but we scrounged one out of the pack. Yeah, so my father ceremonially passed on his blue bag to me on Sunday in his old walkie-talkie with a dirty Band-Aid on it. And so the blue bag made it. I did put a new Band-Aid on the walkie-talkie, though, or had somebody else do that. I learned to delegate a lot this week, which is, so that was cool. It's a lot easier to be brave when you have a good team. Because you can just rely on them to cover your back. I mean, we talked to, because we did a LARPing thing out here. LARPing for you guys that aren't nerds, is live action role playing. And so you just like act like you're fighting, you know, with like foam swords and stuff. Go Google it. You have a good laugh. It's pretty fun. But yeah, we did that, and I told him, I don't even know when it came up, but I was talking about the Greek soldiers, and the reason they were so effective, and the Greek armies were so effective in battle and battling the Persians, they had a lot smaller numbers than the Persian Empire had. I didn't mean to turn this into a history lesson, but the reason they were so much stronger and the reason that they were so much more effective in battling the Persian army is because the Greek phalanx relied on the person beside you. And so if you could hold your shield up and protect the person beside you, the person on the other side of you was protecting you with their shield. And so the reason that this is so effective and the reason that you know, that was so effective is because we rely on the person beside us to hold up the shield, you know. That it's not about individual fighters, individual, like, superstars, you know, champions, but it's about a strong phalanx or a strong unit of people that are protecting each other, you know. And, yeah, I'm almost been Jesus because I didn't even think about that until I got up here. And my history professors. But yeah, and it's me. Yeah, it's beautiful. But no, it's been a good week, you know. And really, something was really cool that happened this week, and I've been a little nervous about this. Leading, you know, this summer and doing this was the campus ministry position and stuff, and preparing for that, and just you know, whatever. And the thing that I, you know, and I talked a little bit, I hate the fact that I have to, you know, ask people for money and stuff. But this week God, like, you know, God provided for me, and he showed up in people that I didn't even think about. Like Roger Legg was like, "Hey, I heard you're doing this campus ministry thing." And I was like, "Yeah, yeah, I am." And he's like, "I got like 4 churches that I'm pretty close with that I want to take you up and speak to." And I was like, "Yeah, I'll definitely do that." And he's like, "I mean, me and my wife want to personally support you and blah, blah, blah." But I'm like, "All right, that's sweet. That's awesome." And then like, and then the first day of camp, somebody came up to me and was like, "Hey, you know, I heard you spoke this last Sunday or whatever, and I just want to personally support you, you know, and you know, a good amount of money." And I was like, "Awesome." And they're like, "I don't know if we can do it, but we're going to try." And I was like, "Well, yeah, whatever, you know, whatever you can do." And then somebody else like gave to me like at the end of the week, and so like God is just so faithful to do what he said he would do if you just meet him where you're at, right? If you just say, "Okay, I'll do it," you know, then he'll provide and he'll make a way. You know, if you're just brave enough to say yes, you know, not even do anything yet. If you're just brave enough to say yes, then he'll meet you where you're at and he'll provide for you. So be brave. God's already got your provision laid out for you. So.
Amen. Do you want to say anything? No. Okay. Is there anybody else that wanted to say anything before we go? Caleb and Caleb headed up our men. The guys down there this year did an awesome job. And Crystal's not here this morning, but she headed up for the girls this year, and she did a phenomenal job also. So all of them have just really outdid themselves. Did you want to say something?
I wasn't going to say anything because it makes me sound self-serving. So I don't mean it like that, but. My role has shifted. I spent most of my week corralling little kids, keeping Caroline in the back because she got scared of the dark, because Mordu was coming, because she watches a movie called Brave and there's a bad guy. But I couldn't have done my years. Connie was camper when I was counselor. I couldn't have done those years without Joyce and those people that watch my children. When I started leading worship, I was a young mom. I needed somebody to be responsible for my children. And so that role shifts. And now it's my turn to not carry the burden, but to enjoy the children, to be able to have the little ones. And when I come in the door and they light up, that lights up my life too. It's the most important job we'll ever do. The most important thing I'll ever do. And so I so appreciate those ones that let me do that. But if your role is changing, if you're in a transition stage in your life and your role is changing, embrace the change. Be glad that there's young backs and young feet and young arms to carry the load and that you can enjoy and reap the benefits of sweet hugs and loving children and not having to stay up to 2 o'clock to make sure everybody's safe and in bed. Embrace the change. If that's the transition space in your life, embrace that. Enjoy that. There is a work at every stage of our lives. Enjoy where God has taken you. Enjoy the journey. Follow the path. Do all those things. And be brave enough to let them do it. Be brave enough to take your hands off and say, Lord, you run with it because I'm so impressed by it.